Tech of Sports, episode 99. Author James Ross tonight on the Tech of Sports. It's a pleasure to welcome back James Ross. I just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive the content and the shows on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS, Android, and Windows. And don't forget about Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app. Download the Netcast Studio app. It is great, and it's on my iPad, and it is a real easy way to listen to the shows and to see what shows you want to listen to. So do that. The Tech of Sports is also a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. We record every Wednesday night, and the show then is available for streaming, download, and embed the next day at netcaststudio.com. I just want to let everybody know that this is show number 99. So the next one we have will be show 100, and we'll have a pretty fun show that night, I'm sure. So that will be coming up next week, show 100 of the Tech of Sports. So just a pleasure to welcome back tonight on show 99. He missed the show 100 by one week, James Ross, and it's great to have Jim back on. He's a golf fiction writer, the author of 6 fiction novels set at the Prairie Winds Golf Course near the Mississippi Bluffs in East of St. Louis, Missouri, and his newest novel we're going to talk about tonight is Sherry's Shot. Try saying that a couple times. It's about threatening texts, a lover's triangle, a society divorce, a body is found in a commuter parking lot, and the detective duo is determined to find out who was the killer, and I'm sure there's some golf involved as well. So Jim's first novel, A Lifetime Loser, was published back in 2007, and he's had pretty good success with the ones after that, so a lot going on. And Jim, great to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great to talk to you, and always good to get your emails and find out what you have going on. We'll have the link to your Amazon author page in the show notes that people can listen to. So you've been on, we've had you on before. Just give the new listeners and the audience listening to this show a little about yourself, and then we'll talk about the book series and the new books and a lot more. So just give a little intro about yourself.
Well, Rick, basically, I'm just a like everybody else in middle America. I had a story to tell, and somebody suggested that maybe I ought to tell it. So I sat down, looked at a blank piece of paper, started typing away. And then, you know, like I hit posted on my website, a funny thing happened when I finished the first book, and that was the characters had another story to tell. So one novel has now become 6, and it's kind of a neat little hobby. Keep my mind occupied.
Anyone that's written a book knows it's more than a hobby. It is, it's a lot of work. I laugh because you just don't sit there with a blank sheet of paper and start typing. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of thought. And then the hard part starts when you think you got it all down. That's, as you know, that's when the hard stuff really starts.
Oh, the easiest part about the process is writing the book, which is, like you say, it's no easy thing to come by, but the marketing, finding readers, social networking, advertising, it's just all encompassing and it's part of the process. And it's a tough thing to do.
And as we talked last time, it's really a new world out there when it comes to writing and publishing. And a lot of doors have been open for, you know, a lot of people as far as self-publishing and, you know, putting their own stories down on paper and then selling it to, you know, whatever niche or whatever group of people that they're aiming at, or maybe a big general audience. So it's a, you know, it's there's still a lot of trial and error going on out there, but it's like the Wild West still kind of within publishing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And Rick, you really hit the nail on the head right there, because it, you know, the publishing houses are kind of going by the wayside. Literary agents are going by the wayside. Now, that's not to mention that they're not there and they don't play a big part in the whole part of the bookmaking business, but we saw Borders close down a couple of years ago, and I just read an article over the holidays that said Barnes & Noble may only last one more year. So, you know, what that's saying is that the bricks and the mortar are going by the wayside, and everything is going into the e-generation of books, which is the Nook or Kindle Select or Sony e-reader, and on and on and on. And the most frustrating thing about it from an author's standpoint is that none of those formats are standardized. Every one of them's got their own little nuances, and they do that so that they can capture the market for their particular product. And it, you know, it's a shame that the government didn't get involved when all this started to happen and say, look, we're going to pour an interstate highway, and the concrete has to be 12 inches thick throughout the country. Well, it's not like that in the ebook world. There's potholes everywhere. And, you know, you may think you've got an apostrophe or a comma down or quotation mark. And next thing you know, it shows up as in computer language. And it's difficult to deal with because it's a reflection on you, the author, if there are typos in the final product. And it's tough.
Well, as we saw in the music industry, I don't know how familiar you are with that, but they had the same problem. And then I guess kind of over time, things kind of worked out where, you know, now MP3 is kind of the file of choice and kind of the standard now for music and audio. Do you think the same thing will eventually wash out in publishing with e-publishing?
I sure hope so. You know, there has to be a set of standards, and I think that it would be a lot easier on everybody if they were adhered to. But right now it's, Kindle wants to have their own thing. And as I mentioned a minute ago, Sony wants to have theirs and Yahoo wants to have theirs. And, you know, so who's going to end up winning the war? I don't know, but somebody needs to standardize it because it makes it very frustrating, not only for the author, but also for the reader.
Well, it can be frustrating. And with my books, we just decided that, you know, we were going to go Kindle and then, print on demand paperback. And if people, that reaches the most people, I think. And if they wanted it bad enough, they would find it. It just made it a lot easier for me and my first book with my co-author just to do it that way. And we investigated other options on it, but the feedback we got was, have a Kindle copy and have the paperback copy. And we were pretty set and that worked out pretty well for us.
And Rick, I think that's the wise way to do it. You know, they can put these books on a microchip right now. You just put it in storage, and as you get an order for it, then they can pull it right up and print it out, and you've got it in a matter of a couple of days. There's no sense, you know, running a batch of 500 or 1,000 and have them sit on a shelf somewhere. You know, that from an economic standpoint, that isn't a real wise thing to do. And I really like the ebook way to go. I've embraced it. I've gotten a lot more active with Kindle in the last 15 to 20 months. The KDP Select program is outstanding. You can set your own price. You've got a great place to park your product, and they get a lot of hits. So it's the ebook is where it's going. You better jump on the bandwagon and get with it, or you're going to be left in the dust.
Yeah, but you got to have, I think that print on demand has worked out well for us. We use the bookpatch.com and they give you a really quality product. People are surprised when they see it. And again, you kind of set your own price, and I've been completely happy with what they've done. And again, no out of pocket money for us independent authors. They, as people order them or as they order batches of them, they print them up, and like you said, they have them within a couple days. I think, the check arrives every month or so. That's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's a good. I really like the concept too. The POD is the way to go, and then the ebook on Kindle, I think, is really a good strategy.
It is a good strategy and a good concept, and I like the concept of your book series. It has captured the hearts and minds of golf fans and then also add into the fact the fiction fans who like drama and suspense mixed in with their golf. And you have just hit a home run with your series. And I know you talked about when you first got started back before 2007, it was probably back in 2005 or so when you really got started. Kind of talk about the series a little bit, and it's more than just you got a lot of character, you have a lot of characters, and the series just keeps going on and on, and we hope it keeps going on and on. Just kind of talk about the first book and then how it kind of led into a series.
Well, at the time of the first book, you know, we kind of lived in an age where there were a lot of shysters that were coming to the surface in the news media. And in the first book, which is Lifetime Loser, had to deal with a small businessman that became a victim of fraud, and he ended up being unknowingly involved in the theft of an estate where a golf course was stolen, if you can believe that. But, you know, when you work with the title people and bankers and whatnot, that can actually happen, and it did in that particular story. But after I wrote it, then I had these neat characters that I really could get in touch with. And they were ready to tell another story. And Rick, I'll tell you, that's been the toughest part of it, is because I don't think I've got a genre. I don't have a, you know, I'm not really a drama writer. I'm not a mystery writer. I'm not a comedic writer. And I, you know, all these book sites and readers want to know what genre I write in. And I don't know if I can really identify that, because my books are more character based than anything else. And, you know, one of them might be a mystery. Another one might be a drama. One of them might be an adventure. So that's been the toughest thing that I've had to deal with since I started writing these. And I think that all six of them now have gone in a little bit different direction. So I don't know how to classify them.
I have the same problem with my latest book, James, the Fam Trip Field Guide. Basically, it's a diary and a travel log following me as on my golf travels all of last year, over 20 trips. And, you know, they made me classify it. Is it a golf book? Is it a travel log? Is it a how-to book? You know, kind of, yeah, all of those. But, it's good to, I think, hit a bunch of different niches and categories. But, yeah, they want you to pin that book down to, you know, one particular audience, and it's not really that easy. And with you, it's definitely not that easy. But, you know, you can you've kind of started the, you know, or continued on with a few guys from way in the past, the golf fiction genre. That's where I like to put you, but it's not really an official genre.
No. And Rick, you know, I mean, one thing that we tried to hit on with, I believe it was Amazon, was we can put those books in a series. So I called the series the Prairie Winds Golf Course Series, even though it really isn't a series, so to speak, because, you know, you don't have to read the first book to have a continuation into book two and you know, so on and so forth. You can, they all stand on their own. So it's really not a series per se, but it is a series from a categorization standpoint, because I can place them all in that golf course setting. And that's kind of the way, it's all materialized. It's sort of, people ask me, what do you mean? Well, I've got a lot of different topics, and it's sort of like the Cheers bar, where you've got the bartender and the assistant bartender, but then you've got your customers that come in and sit around the bar. And that's kind of what I've sort of created with the golf course pro shop atmosphere, which is essentially what a head pro and his assistant are anyway. They're daytime bartenders, and you've got these different people that file through the door, and they come in, they want to pay their fee over the counter and go out and play a round of golf. But those different people have a life outside the golf course. And that's what I try to bring into the pro shop.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, these lives that are going on outside the golf course, but that's their meeting spot. So I don't know what genre you put that in. Sometimes it's comedy, sometimes it's intrigue and mystery. But anyway, that's what it is. I wish they had a category called character-based novels, because I that's probably what I have.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you do use the pro shop for golfers out there, as they'll know, the pro shop is kind of like the central nervous system of the golf course, and you really use that in a great and unique way. And we're with James Ross here, and we're kind of talking about the wild world that is publishing these days, and self-publishing, digital publishing. We've had him on before. He's got a new book out. It's Sherry's Shot, and it like you said, you don't have to read the rest of the series to appreciate his books. It maybe adds a little to it if you've followed the series. But Sherry's Shot just came out in the last number of days, and that goes along with Lifetime Loser, the first book, and other books, Finish Line, Oprah's Blade, which is probably my second favorite, and Tui's Course, maybe, which is my favorite. And also, we had him on before when we talked about Pabby's Score. His books are all affordable. They're all in the $3 to $5-$6 range. It's they're great reads. You can't go wrong with them. And now we come up on Sherry's Shot, and this adds a little bit more to your arsenal, I think, James. There's a little more, suspense and a little more drama. You have a beautiful woman now introduced into the as a main character into the realm. So it's you're kind of even branching off a little more.
Yeah, this is kind of, you know, I kind of am a nonfiction type of a guy. I like to read the news and whatnot. And this investigative television and all, you know, crime, nonfiction, whatever, you know, I'm that type of a guy. And so I was trying to think of a character that could pull off a scheme. And what better person to do that but a woman? So, and I wanted to kind of have a divorce and, you know, some nastiness there and just so, show some greed and whatnot. So that's how Sherry was invented in my mind. There's not too much golf in this one. Now, after having said that, Sherry's a country clubber. She's going through a divorce, and all of a sudden she winds up in Prairie Winds in a public golf facility. I think I've got a teaser out there someplace. First day that she visits a golf course, one of the regulars buys her a drink. Well, she couldn't drink that particular day, so she had a bottle of water, and she twisted off the cap, and guess what happened? She won the grand prize to win $1 million if she shoots a certain score on the par 3 course at the Classic. So she's got 10 months to prepare for this event, to shoot her handicap, and that's kind of how she gets involved with the guys at Prairie Winds. But that particular segment of the book probably only eats up about 10 to 15% of the story.
No, but it's enough to grab the attention. We're, you know, as golfers and hackers, we're always chasing something. And that's, you really captivate and grab people in right there, where how is this, society beauty queen gonna, attempt this task and get her game where she can do the impossible. You grab the golfers in at that point, but you're also grabbing in a bigger audience than that, I think, as well.
Oh, I mean, this is it's I kind of took it off the big break, or actually the when they draw the, let's say one of the soft drink manufacturers pulls a name out of the hat, and all these guys have to show up and throw the football through the clown's face, or you know, somebody's got to show up at an NBA game and make a half court shot or whatnot. Well, I kind of that's kind of my play on it for the golf world, and she has to show up and shoot a certain score at the par 3 event at the Classic. But it's a win-win for the promoter, for the manufacturer of the water company, because they are basically going to get some free advertising out of it by running this promotion. And of course, and she's got the opportunity to win $1 million. So that's her her avenue into the public golf world, and how she gets to meet all the regulars that I've already created in some of my previous books.
Yep, and then all the mayhem and things happen from that point on. So let's just take a quick break here. James, we have our Amazon spot here in the middle of the show, and it's a perfect chance to order James' books on Amazon and anything else on Amazon. As far as gifts, wedding gifts, Mother's Father's Day this spring and into the summer, you can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any and all of your shopping needs. And of course, James' books that are all available on Amazon at great prices. So don't skimp on that. Use the studio link here, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, and the studio gets a small royalty from you showing your loyalty to the studio on Amazon, netcaststudio.com/Amazon. Also, if you enjoy the tech of sports, and we've been promoting the podcast awards on here lately, show your appreciation also and leave positive reviews and ratings in iTunes for the Tech of Sports and any of the other Netcast Studio shows. We invite you to do that. And back with Jim. Jim, it's just amazing how you keep track of so many characters. You said your books are character driven. They really are. And do you keep like a whiteboard of like a tree of all the characters and what they've done and who they've come into contact with and the relationships? Or are you just going off the top of your head?
Rick, it started off the top of my head. I wish that I had a whiteboard now, but I don't. You know, I wouldn't know how to access it if I did. What I do is I'll go back to the manuscript if I need to borrow something, and if I have to have background information on that particular character, I'll just go back to one of the prior books and pick it up out of there.
And as far as marketing, Jim, have you used YouTube at all for marketing? Have you got on there? And because you're really well spoken, you of course know the characters, you know your books. I'm not sure if you have or not. I haven't checked this out. If you got on there and gave 1 or 2 minute little synopsises of your books on YouTube as part of a YouTube channel, I think that would be a great lead in with a link to where people can buy the books. Have you done that at all?
Yeah, I've got a YouTube video on each book. Basically, Rick, what we've done is we've used stills, and then I've spliced the music in, you know, and then anything that comes across the screen is written text that pops onto the screen, and we move through it in about 35, 40 seconds and wrap it up. I've got those available. They haven't been seen by a great number of viewers. I'm trying, you know, you hit the word on the, just a minute ago when you said marketing. I mean, you could have said a better word. It's just a tough thing to do. And the sky's the limit as far as how much you want to spend, but how effective is it? And how many people do you actually reach? I haven't figured that out. Now, I will say this. We're doing a few things different on this book. Well, the one thing that we did, Rick, is I think I've developed a killer cover on this book. And it's a good story in the sense that it's not, there's not that much golf in it. If you know me on Twitter and some of the social networking sites, I put down golf novels. And I guess if people, you know, you run into people that don't really want, they don't want to read about golf, then they just automatically put an X by my name and delete me. So it's from a standpoint of, yeah, do you want to let people know what you talk about? Golf novels was a really good name to pick. However, it also has a connotation that goes along with it, which might turn some people off. So after having said that, I wanted to develop a story that didn't have quite as much golf in it. I wanted to do a really good cover that didn't really give any sort of direction into the golf world. And I think that's what we did with Sherry's Shot. So now, after having said all that, with the killer cover, we are doing some things from a email standpoint and from some giveaway standpoints, free ebooks and things like that. So I'm going to try some different marketing things on this book.
Yeah, Sherry's Shot is the first cover for people that want to check it out or that are familiar with Jim's books that doesn't give an indication to golf on the cover of the book. So I know that was, like you said, that was probably done on purpose to try to see what change maybe that gets in your audience. So all the other covers have a golf cart or a course or a ball or clubs on it. So this is the first one where you can look at Sherry's Shot and you don't immediately see golf. So we'll see how that works out for you. And of course, your Twitter handle @golfnovels is one of your handles to follow, James. And of course, search for his books on Amazon. They're all available on there. And Jim, one of the trends, I was at the PGA show in Orlando again last month, and there were more authors this year roaming around promoting their books or doing signings at other people's booths for publicity. So I thought that was one of the changes this year I saw at the PGA show, golf authors or people that had a book, nonfiction or a swing book, or I wasn't sure if there was much fiction going on, but they were front and center a lot at the PGA show this year. I thought that was good to see.
Well, Rick, you look at our economy and I mean, let's face it, corporate America is slimming down. And there's a lot of people that probably had some nice jobs and all of a sudden they're finding that they've got to work from their home. Well, what better way than go to their computer, set up their own business and write a book? You really don't need to have any qualifications to write a book. So everybody's got a tip. Everybody's got a how-to. Everybody's got a story to tell. And I think that with the way the publishing industry has developed, as we mentioned in the first part of the show, people are finding that they can do their manuscript, self-publish a book, and next thing they know, they're an author, which is essentially what's happened to me and anybody else that's written a book.
Or a lot of people had a manuscript sitting around for years and years or decades, and all of a sudden now with self-publishing, they've been able to put that out there. Or people that have had an existing book that's been out 20 or 30 years, it's now easy for them to update it and then republish it on the Kindle or through print on demand. That's those are a couple of the other windows that have opened up.
Well, just for instance, Rick, what we're doing also, in fact, I'm going to do it later on tonight, is, and I don't know if you've looked into it or not, but one of the marketing tools that they have on Kindle or KDP Select, whichever way you want to view it, is what they term a book bundle. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit, but give a Kindle or a Cliff Notes version of it.
Yeah, well, essentially what we're doing is I'm putting those together, three ebook files, and I'm bundling those together. And I'm going to have a YA young adult trilogy, and I'm going to have a character-based collection. And they're going to be 2-3 book bundles. Well, I could not take those three books, put them together, put a bind on it, and have a 1,000-page book that could get shipped to people and have them put on their bookshelf. That's just, you know, that doesn't have any appeal to anybody. But I can put those three books in an ebook bundle, and somebody would purchase that bundle and have three of the books right on their Kindle, stored and ready to read at any time. So that's kind of what's a product that's available in the ebook industry, which I've just discovered here in the last couple months, and that's what I hope to have out between now and the Masters.
Now, does that count as one? Not that it matters. Maybe it doesn't matter. Does that count as one sale, Jim, or do you get credit for three books selling in that form?
I think, Rick, that you get a credit of three books, I believe, because you've got all three books listed on the cover of the book bundle.
And you remember they did that in with DVDs kind of before, you know, everything's kind of gone streaming. But, you know, you could get all three Smokey and the Bandit movies on one DVD. And the people told me that only counted as one sale for it was, I guess it probably got a new UPC number. And it classified it as one more sale, you know, not three, I guess. But I don't know. Like you said, it's kind of like it's still very haphazard. People are kind of figuring it out as it goes along. But I think it's a great idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, I liked it from a marketing standpoint, and I thought I'd try something different as well with that to just take advantage of some of the things that are available on Amazon Kindle.
One other thing, Jim, we'd like to talk about as we're wrapping up here with Jim Ross and Get Sherry Shot, his new book. It's definitely going to keep you on the edge of your seat. And like Jim said, not as much golf in this book as the past books. That can be good or bad, but I think it flows very nicely, and it's another great effort from Jim. But do you hear anything, Jim, about your international audience or international readers? I know with my first book that I wrote, the tennis book with Danielle, the tennis player, we actually got some pretty good international sales because it got promoted on some international websites pretty well that we weren't really expecting. What do you hear about your international audience?
Well, Rick, that's a very, very good question because, you know, I mentioned 10 minutes or so ago that I'm going to try some different things on this release. And one of them is the extensive Goodreads giveaway promotion. And we get to choose where that book is given away or to what audience. And I just updated that in the last week or so, and we're going to essentially go worldwide with it. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what kind of hits we get from the different markets overseas.
Yeah, it's with the Kindle, that really opens up a lot of potential for an international audience if you play it right. So it takes, of course, a little bit of luck, but who knows? When you put it out there, you don't know what's going to happen. Jim, any you've had big name golfers or legends appear with cameos in some of your books. Are there any cameos in Sherry Shot to talk about?
Not to speak of, no. Sherry's just a country club lady that wakes up one day and decides that she doesn't want to be married anymore, and has a Latin lover that's she puts on her elbow. She drives a nice little Jaguar convertible, which in her mind is nothing but a crappy little piece of junk, and is a spoiled, rotten little woman that I think a lot of readers might be able to identify with.
Absolutely. And I think I asked you the last time, Jim, I like matching up a Hollywood actor or actress with the lead in a book, if it ever got made into a movie, or maybe somebody you had envisioned for it, which actress, if you had your choice, would play Sherry?
It would be a knockout.
I was thinking maybe Eva Longoria. Is that maybe along what you're thinking, or somebody older than that?
And she's a knockout, so that'd be a perfect. Yeah, this could be a perfect part for her if she wants to go to the big screen and get out of TV.
And she plays a little golf, too.
And she's athletic. I had a buddy of mine who ran into her and Tony Parker out in Vegas one day, and he said she was stopping traffic on the sidewalk. So
I'm sure your friend stopped as well. So
yeah, he did. He's not one to stop and look over his shoulder, but he told me that he did do that.
And Jim, give your contact information again. If people want to get in contact with you, what's the best way? And then what do you want to promote on social media?
Well, my website's really been updated. We've got all the whistles and bells on it now. That's www.authorjamesross.com. I'm on all the social networking sites. I'm at Golf Novels and at James Ross Books on Twitter, on LinkedIn, Facebook. James Ross is how they can find me. And if they can't get through on that, then hit author James Ross and I should pop up everywhere. We've got a presence on Shelfari and Goodreads, which have been purchased by Amazon in the last year to year and a half. Also got a site on Author Central on Amazon. So
a nice author's page on Amazon. I think that can really help having all your stuff centrally located on a nice looking page. That your author page looks really good.
Thanks, Rick. I'll tell you what, I can't say enough good things about Amazon and Kindle. I've really depended on their support the last 4 to 6 weeks, and I cannot tell you how much they've rolled down the red carpet to accommodate authors.
They have to. There's competition out there, and people keep demanding it. So they keep stepping up their game, and authors keep stepping up their game. And I think if we can get things standardized, like you said, that would be a big help to everybody.
Can you do me a favor?
I'll try, Jim.
How much time do we have? Are we getting ready to get out of here?
Yeah, we got my last question, but go ahead. What do you want to ask?
Well, you said that one of your favorites in my series was Tui's Course. Do me a favor and go to Amazon and give me a good review on that. I'll tell you an interesting story, Rick. That was my favorite story to write, and it's probably been my least received book only because I had a lot of Ebonics in it, so to speak, and it's a very tough book to read, but I probably had more fun writing that book than any of the others, and it's been received the least of the six.
I thought I did leave one on there, but I'm looking at it, and I don't see it up there. I thought I did, but I definitely will. That and that's another thing that authors depend on. Glad you brought that up. We depend on the reviews and the comments that people leave. That sometimes will sell you a number of extra books.
Yeah, those stars, you know, whether or not it's a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, whatever, they are very important to us because they're posted everywhere. They're on all the book sites.
They really are. They show up in the search engines. So it's really important. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Jim, and I definitely will for you. So just great having you on. And I always ask my guests one last question, Jim. I don't know if things have changed since the last time or what kind of computer you're currently using, but what's the one piece of tech right now that you can't live without?
Oh, wow. I tell you what, I've really been embracing the last 3 or 4 months, and I've really teaching myself to use it, is the Kindle Fire. I like that tablet. You know, I really depended on the iPhone. I had the iPhone 5, which I like, but I'm really learning how to use all the different features that are in the Kindle Fire, and it's one heck of a nice device.
And for people that maybe were turned off by the price of the iPad when tablets first came out, there's tablets for every price range now. So Android tablets that start, I have an HP Stream that I was sent that's, you know, around $100 for a fantastic tablet. And then you go up to the Kindle tablets and then the iPad. So for readers now that like reading on a tablet form, there's really no excuse for not being able to afford or not being able to get a tablet device anymore. The prices are just fantastic on some of them.
Oh, and Rick, and when you go online and purchase a book, you've got it within 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's amazing. The technology is amazing, and the fact that you can carry over 1,000 books on one little tablet in your bag is you know, Nostradamus couldn't even have predicted that.
No, it's neat. It really is neat. And all the features that you've got available on your iPhone are available on the tablets as well.
Great stuff, Jim. As usual, Cherry Shot is your new book. It's part of the Prairie Winds collection and just a great series of books. And this is another another must read.
Thank Appreciate you. It. I hope I'll check in with me in another 6 months. We'll see what kind of progress we made.
Definitely will. You're one of my favorite guests, favorite people to have on, Jim. You're very well spoken and lots of great information as always. So thanks for coming on. And just hold on for a second as we let everyone know that Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you. You can head over, of course, to netcaststudio.com and check out all the content available, and also Two Thumbs Up Media, the podcast and internet directory at Netcast Studio. It's called twothumbsupmedia.com. Check that out. Just want to let everyone else know that this has been Tech of Sports number 99, show 100 coming up next week. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.